Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
You like fantasy sports and sarcasm, then I shall not make your muscles start to spasm. It could even cause some of you to orgasm. The Razzball Podcast. Well, you have several choices, only one chosen, yes, and I've already avoided. You might be yourself, just like your name was Moises. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Nick Capozzi, and I promise you every week we have a great show, but we've got a really interesting show today. It's a little bit different. Gray has abandoned us. He's gone back to trying to break the record for longest canoe trip with a plantain paddle, so we'll keep you updated on the site about that. But we have Rudy Gamble, as usual, who is joining us. Hi, Rudy. How are you?
Yo.
Yo, right back to you, sir. And we also have a very special guest. He is the prospects writer for Razzball Baseball. It is Mr. Scott Evans. Scott, welcome to the Razzball Baseball Podcast.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Rudy. I'm very glad to be here and excited to chat a little bit about prospects with you guys today.
Now, could you do us a favor? Is it possible to talk in an old prospector voice for at least some of it? Like,
Can you give me a little example of what you're looking for, and maybe I can try.
Man, I'm trying. I can't do a good, like, Will Ferrell did a good one on, like, there's like an SNL skit if you look at old prospector online, but it's like, oh, preachers.
You know, I've been around some old time scouts, and I could probably give it a whirl, but you know what? I'm not looking to embarrass myself today.
So no, that's understood. I mean. It's something like time we do this. It's time to think about, can you add a little color? Can you have a little prospecty voice? Old scout, grizzled old scouts, okay.
We'll see. Let's get rolling, and maybe I'll crack into something if I feel comfortable. Maybe when we get to, you know, that down the list a little ways.
But or we could get old Hoss Rasburn on as a special guest sometime. Maybe he can do Scott's voiceovers for him.
Right. That would be perfect if old Hoss could come on and help me out.
All right, Scott, listen, give me a bit of your background, because I know that you actually have a bit of a scouting background, so I want the people out there to realize that we didn't just pick you up at the local Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, actually got my a start in baseball in 2008. I worked with as an intern with the St. Louis Cardinals Baseball Development Department. I was out in the Midwest League with their affiliate in the Quad Cities, the River Bandits. Did some real basic intern type stuff. I charted games. I took some video. Nothing too major. After that, I got into writing with minorleaguebaseball.com, same year, 2008. And then I went on a little bit of a hiatus, but now I'm back writing about baseball for Razzball, and I'm loving every minute of it.
Beautiful. Okay, so what we're going to do here, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a list of 15 prospects. We'll count down from 15 to 1 on Scott's list. If we have some time, there are some honorable mentions, but let's start right at the top with number 15.
If we started at the top, we'd have to go for at one.
You know what, Rudy? I'm glad you're here, because you're really the glue.
I mean, you could turn the sheet around, but then you're reading upside down if you want 15 at the top. That's not good.
All right, let's start at the bottom of our list with a gentleman who has already broken Vince Coleman's minor league stolen base record. And I can't say I'm surprised to see him so low on the list, because I don't know what he does other than steal bases. What do you think, Scott?
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, Billy Hamilton, it's no secret, he's the most exciting player in minor league baseball, maybe the most exciting player in all of baseball, 154 stolen bases and counting. But what else does he do? I mean, he's got a great approach at the plate. He does take a lot of pitches. He gets on base by walks. But tell you the truth, a lot of what we see in his average up above 300 is him turning little ground balls into base hits. Most of his extra base hits come from him stretching a single into a double with his speed. I mean, this guy is the fastest man in baseball, but I'm not sure how much he's going to offer in terms of his actual hit tool. We'll have to see how he goes with a bigger sample in Double-A and as he gets into the majors.
Have you heard anything about the Reds? You know, is our farm system making sure he's staying disciplined by making him do push-ups when he hits in the air?
That'd be wonderful, but you know, the Reds are actually being a little bit more aggressive with him than I thought. He is 21 years old, so he's about at the right age to be at Double A. The talks of them actually having him arrive this year, I think, is a little crazy. His hit tool and his defense nowhere near capable at the big league level.
And yeah, I mean, that's got to be tough. Like I'm looking at his stats. His balls in play is like 400.
Right.
Because you've got to think, like, so for those of you not looking, you know, reading this and not, you know, looking along on Fangraphs or Baseball Reference, he's hitting like 300 this year, over 300 and over 400 on base percentage. But the reality, he's striking out at a pretty high rate. I mean, if he's striking out like, 18 to 20% right now.
Exactly. You know, go ahead.
No, so yeah, I mean, his walk rate's really high too. I mean, you know, in like the 15% range. So it makes sense. You're saying he's taking a lot of pitches. He's getting into deep counts. But you really like your speed guys to have very high contact rates.
All right. So let me ask you this then, Scott. Give me a slash line for him, let's say 5 years down the road. What can we expect from Billy Hamilton going forward?
I think you can expect a slash line in the neighborhood of 285, 345, 350, and then he really has very limited power. I don't think that he slugs above 410, something like that.
Okay, and what kind of steals do you think we'll see on a yearly basis?
Oh, definitely a good amount of steals, somewhere probably above 75. He's not going to be stealing 150 bags. I mean, minor league catchers don't have the arms that big league catchers do, obviously. Pitchers in the big league are a lot quicker to home. There are a lot of variables involved here. So you won't see him putting up triple-digit steals in the bigs, but still plenty of value there.
So, okay. Now, is he going to be able to play in the infield, or are they going to have to move him up to center field?
You know, most scouts love to see him play center field. That would just be, you know, almost too perfect for a guy with that kind of speed and range. They think his arm is a little fringy for shortstop side of the infield. To this point, he hasn't played anywhere else besides a couple times at second base. Bulk of his time, all the rest of the time at DH or shortstop. So I'd like to see the Reds try to shift him to the outfield. I think that's his best fit in the bigs, but right now it looks like they're trying to make a go of it in the infield.
He seems like, yeah. So in the end, if he's a center fielder, is he pretty much like a better like Gary Pettis? I'm trying to think of, you know, guys that did well, you know, with speed as their main tool and not much else at a center field. And I think your guys like Pedwis, Tom Goodwin did that for a while.
I think that's our call to the pen, boys.
I mean, maybe even he's comparable to Vince Coleman. His hit tool's nowhere near, but you know, somewhere in that ballpark. He could. There are people who believe in his hit tool. I'm less so in that school of thought. I'm more thinking that he's going to struggle.
All right.
And yeah, you got to imagine. Yeah, if he bulks up to hit better, it's going to hurt him on speed.
Exactly.
All right, let's keep moving up the list.
The next one. Number
14, 21-year-old Trevor Bauer, currently pitching at Triple-A. I know. All right, we're going to try and keep it to about 2 minutes per. So, Scott, give me a minute on what you think about Trevor Bauer's future prospects.
All right. Well, those of us around Razzball are familiar with Trevor Bauer. I'm a big fan of Trevor's. I know a lot of people were discouraged after his few starts in the bigs this year. But tell you the truth, I thought his stuff was good. Just thought he got a little bit too cute with sequencing. He's got a great deep arsenal. He needs to attack hitters with his best pitches right now instead of trying to hit spots on the black and get pitchers to swing at, or get hitters to swing at pitchers out of the zone.
What's his upside, Rudy?
I mean, based on his K, I mean, any guy who's could be K-ing at the 10 plus in the minors with the stuff he has. Yeah, I mean, he could be an ace. He could be, up to like Cy Young quality. But I'll say this for those of you in kind of keeper leagues, I would never keep a minor league pitcher. The chances of, like I said, his upside's potentially there. It might take a couple years to get there. And, I mean, Scott, I know this is morbid. What are the chances Trevor Bauer has Tommy John surgery in the next 3 years?
Or he starts or he starts hitting the bong like Tim Lincecum.
Well,
Tim Lincecum, I'll take that. That's the upside to do Tim Lincecum, but I mean, is it 20%, 30%?
It's hard. It's really hard to say with a guy like Trevor Bauer. He's so unorthodox. His motion does scare scouts all around and all of But it's based from a biomechanical standpoint, and supposedly, and I don't really know much about it.
Is he a long tosser?
Yeah, he's a long tosser. I know that he works before the game. He's throwing from foul pole to foul pole, which is another thing to take into account because that's just some wear and tear on the arm before every single start. But I like you said, it might be a few years before Trevor Bauer really peaks. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think he's probably 5 years away from being the ultimate pitcher he's going to be.
Right. Yeah, and the big question mark he still has to figure out is you're saying he has to attack more, but is it always attacking more and being too cute, or being better at hitting the black?
I think that being better at hitting the black is something that's going to come with time. So right now, his stuff is good enough to actually offer good fantasy value at the major league level. He's just not put it all together yet. He needs to work over the plate more, which is kind of scary, but that's what he needs to do in order to get hitters out. Too many walks.
So maybe he's like next year, the expectation's like Max Scherzer's rookie year?
Yeah, I'd say that's a really good comparable right there, Scherzer.
All right, perfect. Number 13 on our list, Scott, we discussed him last week on the podcast, Xander Bogaerts. We won't spend but a second on him. Just a real quick scouting report. Shortstop, 19-year-old shortstop in the Red Sox system, currently playing at Double A.
Yeah, he just arrived at Double A. He's already hit 5 homers in his first 17 games. Not too much bad to say about this guy. His raw power is enormous, and his tools at the plate are outstanding. Looks like, though, he's going to bulk up. He's going to move to either third, maybe more likely a corner outfield spot, which will hurt his fantasy value down the line.
Okay. Number 12 on our list is the first of two Pittsburgh Pirate pitchers in the top 12. It is Jameson Taillon, 20-year-old, pitching at Double A. I believe he was the second pick in the draft, if I'm not mistaken, a couple years back. Big ceiling on this guy, I think, Scott, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you just look at him and you know that this guy's got ace potential written all over him. He's 6'6", 225 pounds. Fastball sits in the upper 90s, brings a power curve, work in progress change, but real power pitcher with a power arsenal and real huge, massive ceiling for Taillon.
Rudy, what do you think of how the Pirates have been, I don't want to say babying the starting pitchers they have in their system, but there's definitely been a lot of talk in baseball about how that's being run.
I mean, only time will tell. I mean, Pittsburgh they don't have a great track record, but reality is the track record. I don't think I wouldn't blame their farm system as much as whoever's doing their drafts and was budgeting their drafts. they went cheap. They definitely dropped the ball probably on like 5 drafts. I think McCutchen might have been a little bit of luck there, but that seemed to change the tide. I'm open to it. I don't know if there's one great way, but Taillon, I mean, he doesn't have a huge sample, but I mean, 200 innings in the minors, and I'll tell you that the thing I like best, I mean, is his walk rate's kind of under control, and guys don't seem to be hitting the ball really well off of him. So, you know, it seems based on this stuff, and you know, I don't have the Scott. I'm sure you've seen video, so you have a better sense, but it seems like he's coming in like just a better pitcher right now than some of the other prospects we see.
Absolutely. And, you know, with him, his size plays a big part. He gets enormous tilt on his fastball. He's coming in at strange angles, and he's unusual for a high A or a double A even hitter to get used to pitchers like that. So part of it is his size and his power. That'll kind of even out as he approaches the higher levels.
So who would be like a comparable for him? Like for us trying to, I mean, 6'6" is pretty tall. I mean,
Chris Carpenter.
Yeah, Carpenter is a good comparable. I also would say that, you know, Justin Verlander brings.
I was hoping you'd say that one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you just think of your classic power arm ace right now, and Verlander's the mold, and actually a lot of the other guys on this list are going to be you know, in that frame.
Speaking of big power arms, and speaking of the Pittsburgh Pirates, surprised we don't have an email from Pedro. Garrett Cole, 21 years old, first pick in the draft last year, pitching at Double-A. What do you think, Scott?
Well, Cole's one of those guys whose production has never really matched his potential, but that goes for his time spent at UCLA all the way up until right now. He's coming on strong lately. He's had a solid first year as a pro. He's reached Double-A. He's just 21 years old. I mean, he's kind of the same guy as Talon, except a couple years older, with a little bit more polish. Touches 100 with his fastball. Goes fastball slider instead of fastball change. Fastball slider instead of fastball curve like Talon does. But Cole will be a good one. I mean, he's got a real high ace potential ceiling, but I think his floor is not very low. I don't see him fizzling out as a back end starter, or, you know, he's definitely going to be a number three at worst.
Okay, yeah. Beauty.
And one thing just on slight cherry that's for. The Yanks picked him in. Did the Yanks draft him in the first or second round?
Yeah,
turned him down to go to college.
Yeah, first round. I think he was 23rd or 24th overall pick by the Yankees a few years back.
Right, and then he went for half an education. He didn't. Yeah, it wasn't quite Messina going to Stanford, but that was impressive. It did it right. He got to be your number one pick and probably secured you know, more money at least in guaranteed. But I haven't seen as much of him. It's, you know, I think the promise there, it's just, you know, how he matures as a pitcher. I mean, I think it does feel, and Scott, there'd be a question for you, like that jump, you know, going from A and Double A, I think the reality is that hitters are a little jumpier in the box, that, you know, you're not going to walk your way to the majors, and kind of paraphrasing the Dominican thing of, you know, you're not going to walk your way off the island. But it seems like as you go Triple A, like it seems that jump to Triple A, you know, a lot of pitchers kind of tail off a bit, like, and basically almost have to like repeat a grade. Is that something?
Oh yeah. I mean, just look at case in point, Danny Holtzman this year. He was unbelievable at Double A. He reached Triple A, and hitters are a lot more patient. They start taking pitches that Double A hitters were swinging at, whiffing at. So Holtzman's had a big speed bump here at Triple A, and I think he's a perfect illustration of what you're pointing out.
I was also thinking those two Yankee, Betances and Benuelos, are kind of in.
Oh yeah,
and actually. And the guy on Texas, Martin Perez.
You know, Perez has had some good outings lately, but that is true. And, I mean, Dylan Betances, I mean, you want to talk about a guy who's having a rough year. He's all the way down in Double-A now, I believe, really getting beat up down there, too. He was in the majors last year.
All right, number 10 on our list is a guy who's starting to get lots of hype. It is Javier Baez. Am I pronouncing that right, Scott?
Yeah, Javier Baez.
Yeah, he was the, I think, eighth overall pick by the Cubs this year, 19-year-old playing in high A. And, I mean, you want to talk about a guy getting a lot of hype the last couple months. What's the buzz there, Scott?
Well, I live in Chicago. I'm around a lot of Cubs fans, and they are incredibly excited about this 19-year-old shortstop. He's a big athletic frame, unbelievable tools at the plate. He's speedy, too. He'll steal 15 bags in the bigs. He's got the ability to hit 30 home runs, too. I do think that he moves over to third base and sticks there. Real strong arm. So should be a good fantasy option at third base. Probably doesn't arrive here till probably around 2014, sometime during that season.
I think, are some of the Cub fans just hoping he actually could play shortstop, other than, you know?
That's what I was going to say.
Watch Castro for the next 7 years.
That's
play
what I was going to say.
Shortstop like Fidel Castro played Democracy.
Yeah, you know, I think Cubs fans are hopeful. The ones that follow it closely, I mean, they know, they read the reports. They know that Baez probably isn't their answer at short. I think actually Castro has a better shot at sticking there than Baez does. Baez is a little bit bigger and not quite as rangy.
Okay, so and he has the power to profile at third base.
Absolutely, yeah. He's got 30 home run potential.
Beautiful. Number 9 on our list is a guy who I live in Toronto and has got an immense amount of hype. I worry if he's a bit injury prone, and that's Travis d'Arnaud, 23 years old, playing at AAA. Actually, he's currently injured. Came over in the Roy Halladay trade. Scott, what's your what are you thinking about Mr. d'Arnaud?
Well, he was playing in Las Vegas, which is just about the best hitter's ballpark in the minor leagues. But he was putting up some monstrous numbers before the injury. He was slashing .333, .380, .595 with 16 homers and just 279 plate appearances before he went down with a knee injury. Didn't require surgery. I mean, the guy, he'll stick a catcher. He's got the ability to hit for 300 average, 20, 25 homers in the bigs. I mean, that's going to be huge for any fantasy team.
I mean, it's kind of a Buster Posey late.
And he's good enough to stay a catcher?
Absolutely, yeah. He's quick. He's agile behind the plate. Strong arm. He's got all the tools to stay there. Now, there always is that learning curve with catcher, because once he does arrive in the bigs, and we're seeing it this year
Montero?
Montero, and also Mesoraco. These guys have dual responsibilities. They've got to learn how to manage a pitching staff while learning how to adapt to big league pitching themselves. So the learning curve is always a little bit slower. Don't expect d'Arnaud to come out and hit 20 home runs right away, but down the line, he's going to be a nice one.
Hey, speaking of another Chris Carpenter clone, how about number 8 on the list, Shelby Miller, 21 years old, currently playing at AAA.
Sounds like a supermodel.
I know.
Yeah, no, he had huge hype coming into the year, but really let down a lot of Cardinals fans for the first 4 months. But lately, though, last 10 starts or so since mid-July, he's just been on fire. He's got a 50-1 K to walk during his last 7 outings. And, I mean, his fastball is working, a late movement, mid-upper 90s. And then his power curve is back. I think Gray wrote about him this morning, and he's probably a good buy. He might be up in September for the Cards.
He might be really good, right? I mean, Rudy, but Scott, everything I've heard is that this kid might be a real pitcher.
Yeah, you know, if you're going to pick out 3 or 4 guys in the minor leagues who have legitimate ace potential, and you got to understand there aren't many aces even in the big leagues. Not many teams have a legitimate number one. Shelby Miller has that potential. He could be a Cy Young type year in, year out.
Right. So sorry, and Rudy was asking about a comp.
For Shelby, I think that Miller, look at Adam Wainwright. A little bit more power than Adam Wainwright, but that kind
same
of...
Same kind of curveball?
Yeah, that kind of steep curve that he can throw for strikes in any count, or he can put it in the dirt to strike you out and make you look dumb.
Okay. By the way, if I'm a little distracted, it's because I'm drafting my Razzball Commentator League for Razzball Fantasy Football right now.
Nice.
Which, of course, you can also find at Razzball.com.
Snake draft or auction?
Snake draft. Yeah. It's Commentator League, so it's standard.
Yeah, it just got me thinking. Do you think Beltran signed with the Cardinals so he wouldn't have to face Wainwright?
Oh, man.
Maybe he was seeing Shelby Miller come down the road and, like, it was just bringing back bad memories.
That was a special moment back in 2006. What was that, Game 7 in the NLCS?
Yeah.
That was quite a pleasure. Are you a Mets fan, Rudy?
No, I grew up a Yankee fan. Now I'm more of just a fantasy.
Right.
Just follow everything. But, I think that was the beginning of the end for the Mets. That starting that game, I don't think hardly anything as good has happened for them in the last 5-6 years since.
No, not at all.
So the next guy on the list that we came up with here, Scott, was the first one when you sent it to me that surprised me. It's number 7, and it's Jose Fernandez, 20-year-old Cuban defector, currently pitching at High A.
Sounds like that came out of like a prospect name generator that we created.
Which we should have, by the way.
Absolutely.
That works.
Well, yeah, I always wanted to do so I could come up with other people named Jameson.
Well, Jose Fernandez is my breakout pitcher of the year so far. He didn't throw much at all last year, but he came out on fire this year. He's pitched 129 innings between low A and high A. He has a 1.81 ERA, 0.89 WHIP, and 155 Ks. He's 6'3", 215. Fastball, slider, change. There's really not much to dislike about Fernandez. He is just like Miller. He's one of very few who could really be a legit ace, and the potential for him to pitch in Marlins Park. I mean, that makes it even more attractive.
Interesting. What do you think? I'm just waiting for some Marlins comments out of you, Rudy.
Yeah, well, that was the first time I heard to pick Marlins Park and attractive in the same sentence in a while. I got to be honest. He wasn't one on my radar either. I think I think the preseason is when I have, like all these guys, Miller and the Pirate pitchers. A lot of these guys were in my kind of, waiting for him. I drafted Holtz in two leagues, AL only. Not like I wasn't that crazy, but So I mean, the stats look great on the guy. For him, it'd be like, well, it's extremely doubtful he's coming up next year. So it's just a matter of seeing if he progresses next year.
You know what? You're right. He's more of a 2014 ETA type, but it wouldn't surprise me if he starts off hot in Double A and the Marlins want to give him a shot. He's Marlins. I mean, they could use some excitement around the park, and he's a Cuban. A lot of Cuban fan base back down there, and it could really stir up some excitement.
All right, so number 6. Oh, by the way, actually, Scott, let me just ask you quickly before we get to number 6. This list, other than Mr. Jose Fernandez, this is typically guys we might see in the next 12 months, 18 months. Is that kind of the ballpark?
Yeah, I excluded a few really high-profile guys just because they're a little too far off, guys like Bubba Starling, Archie Bradley, Francisco Lindor. So this list is mostly made up of guys in AA, AAA, a couple guys in high A right now. But probably within the next 2 years, we'll see most of these guys in the bigs.
Okay. So next on our list, Detroit Tigers, Mr. Nick Castellanos, 20 years old, playing at AA.
Well, Castellanos has an incredible hit tool, just a pure hitter. He's a skinny third baseman right now, and he's working on developing his power. But he started the year in the Florida State League. That's high A. Hit .405 through 55 games. So you just know this guy can rake. He's in Double A right now, batting right about 300. So he's come back to earth, but you know, he's got a projectable frame, should hit for power, and he should stick at third base. The time frame on him is a little bit less clear. I know Detroit has kicked around the idea of calling him up this year, but I think he's more of a 2014 guy. Just need they're going to need to be patient with him, let him fill out, and let him adapt defensively along the way.
Yeah, they already got like 600 pounds on the corners right now. There's no room to squeeze anything else in. But yeah, I'm looking. So this is one where, you know, so I definitely am more of a stat person than, you know, the scouting stuff. And, you know, I'm looking at his Fangraphs page. And yeah, I mean, obviously the 405 average in A+, but, you know, he's got 550 at bats this year, 10 homers, you know, pretty decent. You know, not the greatest K to walk rate. Is it just really that? And he's 6'4", 195. That's real skinny.
Yeah,
is that the assumption that he's going to put on 20 pounds of muscle and those line drives are going to turn into homers?
Yeah, absolutely. And you've seen his power pick up actually a little bit since he's arrived in Double A. He has most of his homers on the year there. But yeah, that's why I'm saying I think it's a little bit longer time frame than a lot of Pirates fans a lot of Detroit fans are hoping for, because he's going to take some time to fill out and really turn into the ball player that they want him to be and that he hopefully will be. But his ceiling is just enormous.
So I'm trying to think. I mean, what is like the upside? Is it like
Michael Young?
Nah, 6'4", 195.
I'm joking.
Troy Glaus.
I mean, maybe Ryan Zimmerman, something like that. I mean, obviously Zimmerman's got a
is he that good a fielder though? Because Zimmerman's got a great glove.
Zimmerman's got a great glove. No, I don't think that.
So maybe a Zimmerman hitter.
Zimmerman hitter, and you know what? There's a chance he ends up in the outfield too. If Detroit gets frustrated with their outfielders, he is an option. They have been playing him a lot in Double A in the outfield, in hopes that he might be able to be a little utility guy if they need him in September.
All right, sounds good. Next on our list, because now we're getting into the cream of the crop. We're into the top five. Number five, the first of a wave of Seattle Mariners elite pitching prospects that are coming through the system. Taiwan Walker, 20 years old, currently at Double A.
What's really important to note about Walker is that he turned 20 just like last week, I think on the 13th of August, so just a couple of weeks ago. He spent the entire year in Double A as a 19-year-old, and while his numbers don't jump off the page, the scouting reports are still really positive on him. He's 6'4", 200 pounds. I mean, The M's really challenged him this year with the promotion to Double A, and he responded probably as expected, but it really accelerates his time frame. I think we might see him in the majors second half next year.
Awesome. What do you think, Rudy?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it does look like that. Instead of he was scheduled for what, a high A this year, and that's basically they jumped him from A to Double A,
right?
He'll definitely be one that I'd keep on radars for AL only leagues. Mixed leagues, I wouldn't touch any of these guys. But yeah, I mean, it's a good stash. Kind of, you know, that one's for you, Gray. yeah, so. Open. I mean, like, yeah, the stats don't jump off the page. So I think that this one's a little bit more kind of following the scout hype and take into account his age.
Yeah, absolutely. He's barely 20. He's got a great game.
It doesn't hurt he's going to pitch in Safeco.
Yeah, and yeah, that definitely factors into my ranking here, too. Safeco factors is huge.
So what kind – So if I'm trying to picture this guy and think of a comp, I mean, he doesn't fit the – he's not as big as a Felix Hernandez, Michael Pineda, is he?
No, he's big. Walker is 6'4", 200. So he's got that ace frame. But again, I'm going to go with the Verlander comparison. I mean, he sits in the mid 90s. He's not touching 100, Walker, but outstanding athleticism. He's got the athleticism of like a center fielder or a shortstop, and he's on the mound, and he's got great makeup and just
wow, you know, sounds like a tall Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, well, hopefully he's not shagging balls during BP. So
seriously,
it worked for 20 years.
It did. That's true.
All right, number four on the list is arguably the top pitching arm in all of the minor leagues, and there's a chance we might see Dylan Bundy up this September. You think so, Scott?
Oh, that's what the rumors are saying. I'm not sure if they should rush him. He's after Machado got called up to the bigs just a few weeks ago, the O's promoted Bundy to Double A.
But the O's do everything right.
Right.
Yeah, people are afraid. Like Dan Duquette, man, people that just don't get it.
Yeah,
he knows something the others don't.
Yeah, no, he's, you know, steer clear of the cutter or whatever.
Idiot savant.
Yeah, they don't like to cut fastball. Bundy's got to do it on the side.
Yeah. Well, Bundy, what he's got is a plus-plus fastball and a curveball that's the best in minor league baseball. I know the Orioles sent Jim Thome to scout him while Tommy's injured. And Thome came back and said that, you know, he could get big leaguers out right now. So I think that's going to factor into the whether or not the Orioles are going to call him up next week. And, you know, I can't really predict the future, but I'd say there's a real good shot we'll see him.
Yeah, no surprise. He hasn't thrown. Like, you'd expect – what was he doing at the beginning of the year? Because I'm looking, he's only thrown like 100 innings so far. Where a lot of these guys are at the 140, 150 mark.
Well, this is his first year out of high school. They took a real cautious approach when he was in the Florida State League. And he was crazy efficient there, too. I mean, he started off in the South Atlantic League, Low A. And he had, I think, a zero ERA during his time there. He didn't allow any runs. Just really patient and cautious approach at first, but once they realized what they had in him, they kind of have let him off the leash a little bit and extended him as he's reached this level.
Are you guys concerned that with the type of power pitcher that he is, that being just, you know, a hair over 6 foot might be an issue?
Yeah, you know, you look at the other guys on this list, they're all 6'3", 6'4", 6'6". That is a little bit of concern, but scouts love the kid. I mean, he is the unanimous choice for top arm in the minors. It's not really up for too much debate right now, especially based on results this year.
All right, sounds good. We're into the top three, and number three on Scott, the Razzball prospect writer's list, is Will Myers, 21 years old, destroying AAA right now. Why haven't we seen him yet, Scott?
The Royals are notoriously sensitive to service time. In 2010, Mike Moustakas hit 36 homers between AA and AAA. And he didn't arrive until, I think, May or June of 2011. People were going crazy for Moustakas in 2010, just like they're going crazy for Myers right now. It's a shame. He's totally ready. His power stroke is there. But I really don't think we see him till next year, and maybe not until May.
Better hitter long-term, Moustakas or Myers?
I think Myers has more tools at the plate than Moustakas. Moustakas is a little bit better, more toolsy athlete all around. But Myers, I think, puts up better figures at the plate.
And is Myers, does he profile? Is he going to be able to stay at center field, or is he going to be a corner?
I think he's going to be pushed to one of the corners, probably left field.
All right, sounds good. Number two on the list, we're almost at the top, is a player that you may not have heard of before this season, but Scott's telling us he might be the best pure power hitter in the minors right now, and that's Oscar Tavares, 20 years old, playing at AA for the Cardinals.
Yeah, Tavares is just unreal good right now. He started the season at 19 years old, didn't turn 20 until mid-June. One of my favorite indicators of whether or not a guy is ready for the next level is his ratio of extra base hits to plate appearances. Tavares has 64 extra base hits in 505 plate appearances. You're looking for about a 10% clip for a really good hitter. So 64 out of 505 is unbelievable.
Wow.
He's ready for major league pitching now. Cardinals don't necessarily have room for him and might be a little wary on rushing him. But he is the best hitter in the minors, and he'll be a great one. Probably the best chance to really hit and put up huge numbers right out of the gate.
And yeah, and it looks like, I mean, 7 triples so far this year, and you know, 11 stolen bases. So we're not, you know, I don't know, for some reason you get a pick when you hear a guy's name. I picture a Pedro Alvarez type. But does this guy have, you know, fairly solid speed?
He is not really the fastest. He's definitely not like Pedro Alvarez in terms of athleticism. He has a tick more than that. I don't think he'll be stealing many bases when
he's not Willie Tavares, though.
No, right.
Or Oscar Gamble, my dad.
But, Tavares is a special player, and I think we'll see him in St. Louis next year. Maybe he'll have a shot at breaking camp with the Cardinals if their outfield's not healthy.
And is he in the – he's a corner outfielder?
Yeah, I think he profiles best in right field. He's got a good strong arm, but he should have the numbers to really be valuable in any fantasy format.
But you'd think, I mean, next year it's going to be pretty rough because Holiday is locked in at in one, and right now Beltran, you know, is signed for next year.
Yeah,
and you've got Alan Craig around there, always looking for playing time.
I don't think the Cardinals stick with Berkman next year. I think.
You think that Craig goes to first, but then the question is Beltran hurt?
Yeah, that's the major question. Really, Tavares is the heir apparent for Beltran. But if Beltran's not healthy, and that's a big if, Tavares works into their plans for next year. Also in the mix there is Matt Adams, who's not on this list, but also
Fat Adams.
I like Adams. He's gonna be.
I saw him play in Round Rock this year. He crushes the ball, but yeah, he's like a Matt Stairs clone.
Oh yeah, yeah. But so we'll see. I hope we see Tavares soon, but it might be take a little bit more patience. Either way, he's going to be great.
All right, and that brings us to number one on the list: Texas Rangers prospect, 19-year-old, playing at Double A, Jurickson Profar. And please tell me, Scott, we're going to see him this year because I got the number one pick in a keeper league that I play with. That's pretty competitive.
Oh, you're number one on the waiver right now?
Yep.
I'm not so sure we see him this year. Those rumors came out a few weeks ago, and I'm not saying we won't see him, but I think it would be rushing him. He is a five-tool shortstop. He's going to hit 20 homers and steal 20 bases every year. He's almost a lock to do that once he reaches his prime. But that prime is a little bit down the road. I mean, he's a 19-year-old kid who's still filling out physically. He's starting to do that this year, starting to turn some of those gap hits into homers. But I really don't see the transformation coming full circle for a year or two down the road, and I think we probably don't see him until next year.
So who am I burning that number one waiver priority on this year? Who's going to get called up out of that, hopefully top five at least?
Well, look at Bundy.
Yeah, Bundy definitely at number four, and how about Shelby Miller at number eight?
All right, I think they're already both on the site, so...
Oh, okay, they're already in the universe, so...
Absolutely.
So then so the question on Profar is, do you see the Rangers basically moving Andrews?
I see Andrews sticking at short. I see Profar playing second, and I see Kinsler maybe moving to a corner outfield post.
Interesting.
Is Kinsler considered an average to below average fielder?
I don't think he projects he's pretty well projected at this point in his career, but Profar is a tick above him, and I don't think they'd want to move Profar to the outfield. He's too valuable. Defense.
No, I guess the question I'd have is that I don't think they move Andrews off of short. It's whether they move him off the team and try to trade him for an arm or something.
Yeah, and don't discount them possibly trading Profar too. I was thinking it was a possibility this year when they were looking for an arm if they were going to pull off a massive deal. I also thought Mike Olt would get traded, but
that seemed more likely because Beltre still has 2 or 3 years left.
Oh, I think Beltre's locked up through like 2017. So, the Rangers have a really crowded team with these prospects coming up. I guess it's a good problem to have, though.
Just quickly, you mentioned Mike Olt. What does he project to be, Scott? Just to wrap us up here.
Mike Olt, he is an outstanding third baseman. He definitely projects at third. He's got great power. I see him hitting 30 home runs annually. He could work on his approach a little bit, and it's tough to say with his current situation. I'd like to see him. I would have liked to have seen him traded to a different organization, just because Beltre is so thoroughly blocking him right now.
So is Olt a good comp? Is Glaus a good comp for Olt?
You're really trying to work Glaus in here, Rudy.
Troy Glaus, man, he's one of the forgotten men. Don't come around all the time.
True, true.
Right, Glaus or Scott Rolen. Either one of those guys. Rolen, maybe more so Rolen. I don't know if Olt's power is going to be the 40 home run variety, but Glaus played during a questionable era too, so you have to factor that in.
Fair enough. All right, listen, Scott, that was beyond informative. That was really good quality stuff. Obviously, we're going to check for your posts regularly at razzball.com. Do you have a Twitter handle?
Yeah, absolutely. Feel free to follow me at r_ScottE. That's my handles. And I'm always tweeting and keeping up on the prospects on Twitter.
Beauty. I'll be following you. All right, thanks so much. And that was another edition of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. Thanks to you too, Rudy.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
No problem. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Thanks to executive producer Scott Brown and the staff at Glenmore Records. If you ever need great recording studios in the city of Toronto, visit glenmorerecords.com. And a special thank you to Symphony of Nine for the greatest podcast intro song ever. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.